Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, y'all. Who dat? And what is up? I am Jeff Nowak, and this is Sports Talk on WWL Radio. I'm taking you up till 7 p.m. alongside Charlie Long doing all the important stuff over there behind the glass, and we'll hand off to the Saints Hour. Mike Cost chatting with Spencer Rattler and Michael Parenton, Director of Pro Personnel for the Saints. We're going to have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk a lot about the Saints in this hour. We're also going to have Joe Bartel, fantasy football expert over at RotoWire, in this hour to kind of go over what's happened. A lot of injuries in the NFL. A lot of quarterbacks have gone down. A lot of important pieces. How's your fantasy team holding up, Charlie?
It's going pretty well. I got some questions for Joe. I'll save them for when we get there. For my ESPN league, my stock in Brian Thomas is seemingly starting to go up, thankfully, after that very slow start to the season with the Jaguars.
Yep.
He finally had a really, I don't want to say breakout performance, but he looked good. He looked kind of like his old self, which he hasn't through the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I put stock in the Joes, and I was let down when Joe Burrow went down. But the Browns, they made the smart move. They traded for a different Joe. They brought in Joe Flacco. I'm sorry, the Bengals. They traded for Joe Flacco. It's all about having a Joe. It's all
Flacco is continuing his tour of the AFC North. He just has to sign with the Steelers now, and then it'll be complete the cycle there.
He might actually die behind that Bengals offensive line. I'm worried about him. Yeah. Pray for Joe. But let's go to our talking text line here really quick. We'll talk to Ahmad, who wants to chat about Pete Werner. How you doing, man? You're on WWL.
Hey, I've been waiting patiently, man. Thank you all for picking my call.
For sure. What you got?
I've just been one of the fans. I'm an objective fan. I love the Hootat Nation. I love you guys, what y'all do. But I just wanted to make the point that Pete Werner, bro, we got about the third-round pick. Most people had him going in the fourth or the fifth to be a primary backup linebacker or a special team contributor. We bring him in. The first thing he did, okay. Pete Werner, to this day, he ranks 113 out of 133 classified linebackers. He's dead last.
In what? What specifically?
PFF rating?
Being a linebacker. That's his PFF grade.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
113.
Just wasn't sure what you were grading him on.
Matter of fact, today it dropped to 133 out of 162. He's dead last. I don't understand why we draft Stroutman. The guy Stallbird, the fans love him on special team. We see the energy. We see Stuckman, the energy that he brings to the special teams crew. Why is Pete Werner continuously being a back end of our highlight reel? He cannot cover. He cannot blitz. He has 3 sacks in 4 years, 1 interception in 3 years, 2 forced fumble in 3. He has no highlight plays. He has no game-changing plays. Every single week he goes out there and just runs around.
Man, that's harsh.
I do not understand why Pete Werner is a starter.
It's his cardio.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Like, I'd like to see more impact plays out of Pete. I don't think I'm not as negative on Pete as you are, Ahmad. But no, there you do need to see more, right? Like, when you have a chance for a game-changing interception, how about you catch it you know, stuff like that. He did lead the team in tackles against the Giants, so you got to give him credit there. He is a tackler. He's a volume tackler. He's not a guy you send on a lot of blitzes. He can blitz. But, no, I think Pete Werner, when you look at this team and you look at, hey, where are they going? And, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about trade targets, right? Like, who's gonna be an option to maybe ship out, maybe bring in a couple assets for? I think Pete's going to be on that list because I just don't know if he fits. And I think, Ahmad, what you're going for, and I agree with, I think that he's kind of out of place in this new scheme. He just doesn't seem to fit what they need him to do. You know, you're asking to drop into coverage a lot, and it's not his strength. So, no, I mean, I agree. I like Danny Stutzman. I like some of these other guys. So I wouldn't be surprised if over time he gets kind of phased out.
The biggest low light for Pete Werner so far was him getting lost against the 49ers in that touchdown for Juwan Jennings. And that was kind of like, oh, come on, Pete. And then you listen to Scott Shanley talk about him, and Scott's been super high on what he's seen from Pete Werner.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
he's a good player. Like, it's not.
And here's the point about why they're playing him, Ahmad, is that they've paid him. They paid him last August, so the 3-year extension to keep him locked down long term. And he might be a trade target for a team that needs, you know, as you mentioned, the kind of volume tackler that he is. We'll just kind of have to see how it all goes. But Ahmad, you're not the only one that has been critical of Pete Werner. There's plenty of Houdat Nation folks that will be on our text line or our call line that will criticize him. The kind of two main culprits or the, I guess, sources of the Houdat Nation's fury has kind of been Werner and Cesar Ruiz, the right guard. So,
correct.
You're not standing alone with that opinion, Ahmad. Let's just say that.
Yeah, and I think if you were starting this defense today, you were drafting this defense today, he's probably not a guy you'd pick, and that's where I kind of land on it. But all right, let's hit a quick break. We're going to come back with Joe Bartel. Keep it locked on WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And we are back in on WWL. Jeff Nowak, alongside Charlie Long, taking you up till 7 p.m. We hand off to the Saints Hour. Going to our talk in Texan, we're going to bring in Joe Bartel, fantasy football expert over at RotoWire. You can follow him on X at JB Fantasy Sports. Joe, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. Happy to talk some football with you guys.
No doubt, no doubt. And so, hey, you know, we're 5 weeks into the season. This is when you can really start to tell whether you really biffed your draft, which I did in a couple of my leagues. Where do you, you know, what were the big mistakes that you saw being made over the first kind of month of the season?
Yeah, I was going to say that's an optimistic way of putting it. I think through 5 weeks, if you look at your team and say, well, I can stop playing fantasy football this year, there's certainly possibilities in rosters where that might be the case. And frankly, a lot of them are due to injury. I mean, I have a few Lamar Jackson teams that I might be able to struggle by on a week-to-week basis, but that's been a frustrating endeavor, especially if he's going to be out multiple weeks. And of course, Joe Burrow being the leading catalyst, the guy that's a top five drafted quarterback and out, going to be likely most of the season. But I think probably the biggest missteps that don't require injuries, I have been pounding the table for a long time. Don't draft Travis Hunter. Don't take Travis Hunter. We have no idea what's going to happen. And I think for a lot of people who invest, let's just say, a fifth or sixth round redraft picking him, you've come out on the other side saying, do I even get to play him? Should I be rostering him on a week-to-week basis? It's been pretty frustrating there. I also was kind of fading the Ladd McConkey part of things, especially after the Chargers signed Keenan Allen. And frankly, you kind of go through most of those late first-round, early second-round receivers. You have the Malik Nabers of the world, who, of course, done for the season. Tyreek Hill kind of in that mix, too. But outside of Puka Nacua, you've probably been pretty disappointed with all of those. And in the case of Ladd McConkey, I liked Jaxon Smith-Njigba more than him. I liked Garrett Wilson more than him. He was frequently being drafted, it felt like, at that back end of that second round. And again, you can make by with just having one of those mistakes with the Travis Hunters or Ladd McConkeys of the world, but we're not perfect, even the fantasy experts myself. And when that happens, it ends up being that you'll have an issue in round two or three, and then of course your round seven guy gets hurt in round 10, and then you look at your waiver wire, or I'm sorry, you look at your lineup at the end of like week five here with a lot of buys, and like, boy, what happened here? So I think there's a few of the missteps, especially at receiver, from fantasy draft season in August.
You know, Joe, before we look ahead and kind of talk about waiver wire pickups, just looking back on this past weekend and the fantasy duel that we saw between JSN and Igbuka, like two former Ohio State guys that just went off on the stat sheet. Igbuka finishes with 163 yards on 7 receptions and a touchdown, 31 PPR points. JSN, 8 receptions, 132 yards, a touchdown, 27 PPR points. In that format, this is the number 3 and the number 4 receiver right now. Two really outstanding young players, and just seeing them kind of trade barbs in that matchup between the Seahawks and the Buccaneers was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly great, especially for that late afternoon window, which kind of salvaged an overall day of football that was frustrating from a backup quarterback perspective. But you're right, and, you know, JSN, like I talked about, I liked him a lot. I had gotten on the Igbuka train late, especially after we learned more that Chris Godwin was going to be unavailable for the first couple weeks of the season, and then Jalen McMillan was placed in the injured reserve, their younger outside talent, deep threat for the Buccaneers that did good work last year. It was like, well, I mean, it's going to be Mike Evans and Igbuka, and that's about it. And especially with the way Baker Mayfield has been playing, and frankly, Sam Darnold, too, if we want to go that direction with JSN, there's a reason why these receivers are so fantasy relevant right now. And I think I look at Puka Nacua, who's the overall fantasy receiver one. Matthew Stafford the same way. Like, all three of those quarterbacks are just playing with their lights out right now. Like, they're going insane. And I think that certainly makes a big factor. It makes it a better viewing experience as well, too.
Yeah, I at halftime of the afternoon games, I had a 90% chance to win my fantasy matchup. The problem was I was going against Baker, JSN, and Igbuka, so it didn't work out for me. I lost by like 30. It was wild. I looked and I suddenly went from 90% chance to win to a 1% chance to win. And yeah, thanks for that game. But you know, my question is, hey, I have a guy in my league who is so upset about AJ Brown that I could probably take him for basically nothing. Should I trade Cam Scadaboo straight up for A.J. Brown, or would that be a mistake?
That's a great question, and I think a lot of people are going to be asking themselves that, too. Now, I always want to preface this, given that we'll have a larger audience that might hear this and be like, oh, I have A.J. Brown. Should I trade him away for whatever running back? No, it depends on what your team roster outside looks like. And again, you could message me at JB Fantasy Sports or on X or Twitter or a bunch of my other colleagues, and we'll be glad to help you out with your specific instance. But just in a generality perspective, yeah, I think a guy like Scadaboo would be somebody I'd definitely be considering. Most of my leagues, I'm dealing with the Trey Benson part of it, or I lost Martin Hampton right for a month now. Derrick Henry's been underperforming. I had one roster that had Bucky Irving, Chase Brown, and Chuba Hubbard. It's like, I would have loved to not play Chase Brown. I literally haven't had a choice now for multiple weeks. There's probably more attrition right now at the running back position, where if I can get a Cam Scadaboo. Now, to be clear, we're doing this conversation on Tuesday. Tyrone Tracy could end up playing Thursday against the Eagles, and if he doesn't, he's certainly coming back and close. And in that scenario, when Tracy is back, I think Scadaboo is still the main guy, but it'll be that he's splitting time with Tyrone Tracy, which limits the fantasy value a little bit. Still, though, like I think I would be happy to go ahead and give up what would be conventionally like a round 8, 9, 10 pick to get a guy like A.J. Brown. to me, I think it was no different than Rasheed Rice, who a lot of people waited six weeks to go ahead and play after drafting him, round 7, 8, 9. That's kind of how I'm viewing the A.J. Brown thing. And maybe you could say, well, Joe, A.J. Brown hasn't done nearly as much. Technically, Rasheed Rice hasn't done anything either this season. Like, he could easily get injured again, or the Chiefs might not be able to incorporate him into the offense. Like, we can all project what will happen, but that's the way I'd answer that question. Is I think of A.J. Brown kind of like how people are using Rasheed Rice for a lot of leagues, that at any moment he could end up being a wide receiver two at minimum. And to give a guy like Cam Scataboo, which I feel like has sort of found money, I would be happy to do that.
Joe, before we let you run, I wanted to ask you for some waiver wire targets you're kind of looking at ahead of Wednesday and that deadline. Just kind of some players that you want to go scoop up leading into week 6.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's a lot of repeats from last week. Now, I'd A, check to make sure, is Rashad White available? Is Michael Carter available? Rashad White, of course, benefiting with Bucky Irving out. Michael Carter benefiting with Marty Mercado being dumb, but also Trey Benson out for 4 to 6 weeks as well, too. I suspect DeMarcado will get a carry or two. We also saw Bam Knight get a carry or two for the Cardinals, but it was Michael Carter's backfield to lose. And in the case of Michael Carter, he was available in 60% of Yahoo leagues. Rashad White was close to 25%. If both those guys are gone, it gets a little bit bleak. I'm trying to scrape by with a Kendrick Bourne or Ryan Flournoy of Cowboys for a one-week basis if I need receivers. And I really like the tight end group, specifically Mason Taylor, who was one of my guys. I know you guys are familiar with him too down there. I love Mason Taylor coming out of college, and I thought he was going to be basically not quite rookie year Sam Laporta, but something like that. And while we aren't getting the touchdowns, we are seeing the volume now with the Jets offense. There has to be a number two target outside of Garrett Wilson. And I do think it's going to be Mason Taylor. We've seen the past 2 weeks now. So he's probably my top waiver wire pickup that's available everywhere. And I think he becomes kind of low end tight end one territory the rest of the way.
All right. Great stuff. Joe Bartel, fantasy football expert over at RotoWire. You can follow him at JB Fantasy Sports, also at RotoWire. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
No, thanks, guys, for having me on.
All right, get that. I hope you all got that. Get your waiver claims in. Trade Cam Scataboo for A.J. Brown. That's what I was told right there. So I genuinely was having that conversation this morning. So I'm gonna put that trade in and see if he buys it.
I'm gonna be scratching my head all week thinking about if I want to start Njoku, because he looked really good with Dylan Gabriel at quarterback, or if Tucker Kraft coming back from the bye with the Packers, who's been so, so good early on the season. I know that he dealt with a little bit of an injury there, so the last game that he played, he wasn't as productive as maybe he was when he went off against the Commanders, but you know, that's one that I'll be kind of going back and forth between with the pendulum swing. The tight end spot is always really, really tough in fantasy.
It's tough. I had someone try to start Taysom Hill against me last week, and I think it's because they knew I was a New Orleans guy.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Like, I'm going to get him.
Nope.
I would have told you not to do that. As much as I love Taysom Hill, that was not the week. But all right. Again, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, taking you up till 7 p.m. here on Sports Talk. Keep it locked on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And we are back here on Sports Talk. Jeff Nowak alongside Charlie Long, taking you up till 7 p.m., and then we're going to hand off to the Saints Hour with Mike Hoss, going to interview Spencer Rattler, also Michael Parenton, Director of Pro Personnel for the Saints. But Charlie, let's talk about this. News reported by Adam Schefter today. Jonathan Gannon, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, he has been fined $100,000 for his on-field exchange with Emery DeMercado after Emery became the latest player, the second in as many weeks, to fumble a ball right before the goal line. It was A.D. Mitchell for the Colts in week four. His was at least an accident.
A.D. Mitchell did compound it, though, with a late holding call on a Jonathan Taylor 50-yard touchdown run. Sure. So I think if you're talking about who had the worst day, poor A.D. Mitchell, man.
Well, it was also like his play was fantastic. It was one of the best plays of the year until it wasn't. But his was also like he kind of just fumbled it away. Emery's was just one of those. He flipped it out of his hands. And maybe it's just, hey, he used to be a coach for the Eagles. Now your players are going to do stuff that annoys you. Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon were the offensive and defensive coordinators for the Eagles when they went to the Super Bowl. But a $100,000 fine. Coaches don't make that much. That's a significant fine, and he's the first head coach to be fined since Bruce Arians was fined $50,000 for swiping his hand at safety Andrew Adams' helmet during a 2022 wild card game against Philadelphia, which, if you recall, I believe both Jonathan Gannon and Shane Steichen were coaches on that team at that point. But, I mean, what do you think about that? Have you seen the clip? It seems kind of soft to me. Of like, this guy's wearing pads, he's kind of hitting him on the chest, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty harsh. I mean, there were some Twitter accounts out there, and you got to kind of know what you're looking at with some different accounts, where it's just, oh, he punched him, he like hit,
Hey,
come on, let's relax a little bit. It's tough coaching for a player that made a boneheaded mistake, which, by the way,
cost him a game.
I was about to say, we were just talking about the mistake that A.D. Mitchell made in the game that ended up being the difference in their loss to the Rams.
Yeah.
After that play from DeMercado, the Titans went from down 21-6 in the fourth quarter. They could have put them in a 28-6 hole with like 12 minutes left to go in that game.
Yeah.
And the Titans and Cam Ward came all the way back and won 22-21.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about these idiotic mistakes that these players keep making when they get to the goal line and they just, you got to cross it, goofball. Like it really is that straightforward.
I don't understand. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Especially because it's happened before. So you would think that every player would know, Oh, I don't want egg on my face like these other players that have done this before, and they still do it. It's just like, make sure if I'm running into the end zone, I'm running through the wall before I drop the football. Because it's just it makes you look so stupid. And so I don't blame Coach Gannon for blowing up on the sideline, because it did end up being the difference in a loss, because the Titans, with that momentum, came back and won that game, won their first game of the season because DeMercado couldn't cross the goal line before letting the ball loose.
And here's the thing. You're Emery DeMercado. This is your moment to say, like, I deserve a role. James Conner is done. Trey Benson is on IR. Like, you're competing with guys who also want a role, and you're making the dumbest mistake possible, which is all you got to do is get into the end zone before you flip the ball away. It's remarkable that this happens as often as it does, but it does. It just keeps happening.
So, kind of two parts here. I don't blame Coach Gannon for acting the way that he did on the sideline.
I would have been apoplectic.
And two, I'm kind of with you on this one. I think that it's a harsh punishment from the NFL. $100,000 fine for Coach Gannon for getting in his player's face after making a stupid mistake like that. So, I mean, the Cardinals are one of those teams. Their running back room is just decimated by injury. Obviously, what happened to James Conner, who is an emotional leader of that team, then also with Trey Benson going down with injury. So, it was a DeMercado, kind of Michael Carter backfield, and for all the folks that have put fantasy stock into DeMercado, I can imagine that they're not very happy with what happened this past weekend.
One of those being me.
Yeah, I was the opposite. I put it into Michael Carter, and he got me a touchdown.
That was the smart thing to do.
Yeah, so it worked out.
I picked up DeMercado. I was like, I could either pick up DeMercado or Rico Dowdle. I've made a lot of bad decisions. But I still have Chuba Hubbard. Like, Chuba's going to be that guy. The Panthers, crazy comeback. A lot of crazy games like that. Did you catch the Seahawks-Bucks game?
Yeah, so...
I mean, that was bonkers.
The Seahawks... The Buccaneers continue to just... break a chair over my head every time that we pick them in pick six. Because they've played a lot of good teams early on the season, so I keep throwing them on the slate. Every Thursday, Mike, Steve, myself, Bobby will pick six different games, typically three college, three NFL against the spread. And we've picked the Buccaneers plenty of times. I know we did for the Texans game because I was, I was inconsolable after what happened at the end of that game. And then we'd pick them against the Seahawks. We did them against the Falcons in week one. So I've lost all these games because I keep picking against Baker Mayfield.
That's a mistake.
It's just unbelievable what he's able to do.
I hate to say it, but they might win the Super Bowl this year. Like, that's the type of team that can go win a Super Bowl because inevitably, you get into a situation where you just need to go down and score and win a game. In any playoff run, you're going to get into a situation where the clutch team wins. And what are the common denominators between Super Bowl winners? Like, you get Pat Mahomes, you get Tom Brady's, right? Yeah, even a Matthew Stafford the year the Rams won. Like, you have that quarterback that you trust in those critical moments, and you're like, he gets the ball with 2 minutes to go needing a touchdown. He's going to get that touchdown. And even without Mike Evans, like, it's frustrating. I keep looking, oh, they don't have Mike Evans. They don't have Bucky Irving. How can they possibly go beat the Seahawks team that I think is a really good team? I think it's the best team talent-wise from top to bottom the Saints have played this year. And, man, he just gets it done. And, you know, it's a bummer that Baker plays for the Bucks, because if he was not on another NFC South team, I would be the biggest Baker Mayfield fan possible, because he's just so easy to root for, even though he's doing all the same stuff he did in Cleveland. And they're just like, it's just working now.
He's a bulldog. I mean, I don't know if I would go so far as to say they're like a Super Bowl type of team. I think they're going to be obviously a playoff team. You know, we'll see how far they can get. They're still not necessarily in like the top tier of NFC teams.
They don't have the defense. Like, they don't, I wouldn't say they have an elite defense, and I think that hurts them.
But if you get in, they're like the Chiefs of last year.
Yeah.
If you get into those one possession games,
they're
going to
win them.
You better beat this team by 10 points, and you better be up double digits late and jump on that defense, like you were just saying. Because if you give Baker Mayfield a chance in the fourth quarter in a one possession game, he is continuously shown time after time again that he will burn you. I know that Mike and both of the Mikes, Mike Hawes and Mike Dettillier, were talking about this last night on the Saints Coaches Show, that the Buccaneers are like the cat with nine lives.
It's crazy.
Somehow they continue to win these games, and it's just unbelievable. So you're expecting them to slip up at different points throughout the season. They did slip up against the Eagles, who are better than them. And then, you know, I would hazard guess and say that I think the Lions are probably better than the Buccaneers right now as well.
I think that's I think the NFC Championship is going to be, depending on how it all plays out, two of these three teams, which is the Eagles, the Lions, and the Bucks.
Because I think the Packers are, like, their defense, it just scares me after seeing what happened against the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's true. I guess the Packers are, I think those are the top four teams.
Right. So that's generally the kind of order that we're looking at. The Buccaneers are at least in that number, though, and it's because, like Mike D and Mike Haw said last night, they're just like a cat with nine lives with Baker Mayfield leading the way.
How do you think Panthers fans feel watching that Seahawks-Bucks game and be like, we had both these guys. One of them was backing up the other one.
Right.
And we were just like, let's go. Let's get rid of them. They're trash.
The Matt Rhule era was definitely a weird one in Carolina, because you see like the images of Baker Mayfield lining up in practices at defensive end as well. Like, you see, it's like a practice squad player, and then you see what he's accomplished with Tampa Bay. It's just the Panthers are a strange place. But granted, for them, they picked up a win this past weekend against the Dolphins. So that's a team that either gets completely annihilated week to week, or they will, you know, pull out a random victory that will shock a lot of people. I know nobody was really picking them to beat the Dolphins, even though the Dolphins had a terrible start to the season in their own right. But here we are with the Panthers picking up their second win of the season. So, you know.
No doubt. Weird. You know, speaking of a team that picked up a win, it's the Saints. You know, we could talk about the Saints a little bit. And, you know, so I guess my question for you, what is your biggest red flag? It's easy. Okay, they won a game. Let's talk about good things. We've done that already. What is the thing you're most concerned about over the first five games that you know they need to fix? The Saints need to fix if they want to turn the season into something that's even worth talking about in the final month and a half of the season.
Pass rush.
Okay.
It is Carl Granderson and occasionally Brian Brisee sighting. Cam Jordan had a really good week one. Hasn't really provided much else. Pass rush. Chase Young should be coming back sooner rather than later. So that's been kind of the big concern early on is the pressure rate for the Saints. It's like almost dead last, if not even dead last.
They've moved
up
to 31st.
The Bears are last.
The fighting Dennis Allen's.
So you're right there at the bottom of the league as far as pressure rate, you know, pass rush win percentage, getting after the quarterback in obvious passing downs. You'll just see these plays where and that's why Deuce and also have talked about this throughout the season as well, that the Saints, the quote unquote bugaboo down for them has been third and long, right? And a lot of the times it's because you can't get after the quarterback in those obvious passing downs. And then you give them time and they can maybe get a big chunk play on this young secondary. So that is my biggest concern right now. You know, we'll see what Chase Young provides when he gets back. Hopefully that's sooner rather than later, Jeff, because I mean we've all been hearing it. We know the entire process, how it's played out. When the calf injury happened for Chase Young, we all kind of figured it would be a short-term thing. Like
that's
maybe
it sounded
a,
like.
A couple, that's what he sounded like.
Yeah.
When you listen to him talk about it, he was just like, oh, I'm not worried about it. I'll be back, you know, ASAP type of thing. In his presser, when he was speaking to the media about the injury, and now we're in week six, and we're hoping, where there is optimism, that he's going to return to practice on Wednesday for the first time all season. So fingers crossed there, but it's definitely been, and you know, I know that you've talked about this as well, that the people that will freak out about, oh, why didn't they put him on the IR? They obviously didn't expect it to be this long of a process, so that's why they didn't put him on IR. But as Coach Kellen Moore had said, there is optimism that he'll be back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and the it's notable how Kellen Moore talked about it on Monday because you know, I've been at all these press conferences. I've heard all of his answers. He did not volunteer that level of optimism over the last 3 weeks. That was a choice that he made on Monday. And I don't think he says that on Monday unless he feels like there's a chance, a good chance he's out there. So I'm hopeful that tomorrow when we get out to practice, there will be Chase Young. But don't, I've been saying that for the last month. So, you know, don't be put me on that. But, you know, as far as red flags are concerned, I'm concerned about the pass rush. I wouldn't call it a red flag just because Chase Young, when he gets back, should solve a lot of those problems. So it's not something that like, ah, this is mission critical. They have to change something because what they need to change is getting Chase Young back. And so when he does get back, that should be better. And if it's not, then it becomes a red flag. To me, the red flag is just the special teams phase.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about Blake Groupie. Blake Groupie is a big part of the conversation and you need him to get his stuff sorted out. But you look at the special teams phase overall, in terms of execution, the only reason we're not talking this week about the kick return unit and how it torpedoed the game was because the Giants didn't have to kick off from like the 6 minute point of the second quarter on. The Giants didn't score in the second half. They didn't kick off to start the second half. So you didn't field any kicks. But the first three kickoffs of that game, the Saints started at the 9, the 20, and the 16.
So I had joked earlier with the mod when we had him on our caller that The people that have been catching a lot of heat, Cesar Ruiz, Pete Warner, number one, and it's not even close, is Blake Groupie. Five misses in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
You call it what it is, but it's unacceptable. So
it is, but my ire return, is not just with Blake. My ire is with Phil Galliano and that whole unit.
They got exposed against Seattle, and they haven't necessarily responded and kind of made the major strides that you're hoping you would see post that game. So I'm right there with you.
Well, it's just coverage, returns. Like, you are giving up so much value, and the kicking game is part of that. But keeping the kicker's mind right is part of the special teams coordinator's job.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, there's a lot that goes into it, but that unit has been the biggest disappointment for me so far. And it's a unit that we've grown accustomed to being a plus, and it has been a negative. And this is not the type of team that can overcome special teams being that much of a liability. So that's my biggest red flag. And we'll have a lot more to talk about. But all right, let's hit a break, come back, and close out the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Charlie Long. This is Sports Talk. Stick around. Closing things out here on Sports Talk, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long. And Charlie, before we go, did you hear the story about Sean Payton apparently asking his team bus driver to drive down through downtown Philly on their way out of town after the Broncos beat him?
I did not see that. I saw when he was asked about going for two when they were down 17-10, and then going for two put them up 18-17. It's just like, we came here to win. Like, Sean Payton, he'll never change. He's fantastic.
I do miss the pettiness that comes along with being just legitimately good, you know, because you can do that type of stuff when you win. You can't do that type of stuff when you're 0-4.
Right.
I also don't think Kellen Moore has a petty bone in his body. I'm not sure. Like, if you heard him talk about the Carl Granderson penalty, that was his version of like going scorched earth on the officiating, was being like, I don't know what to tell him. I did enjoy that.
Yeah, Brandon Staley basically said the same thing last night. He's just like, that was a sack.
Right.
So. Like, yeah.
He's going to come to the sideline and be like, what do I do? What did I do wrong? And he'll be like, I don't know.
You didn't do anything wrong, Carl. You've been outstanding. By the way, they took away that sack. Had he had it, 5.5 sacks would have been second only behind Nick Bonito in Denver. So that's a travesty, man.
Yeah. You're costing that man money.
It goes back to why officials should be at least questioned about these calls, man. There's no kind of accountability at all.
I think he should get a coupon from the NFL for the next fine he gets. He can just give him that coupon and get it for free.
There you go.
Yep. But all right, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, handing off to the Saints Hour, Mike Haas. Stick around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.